Good morning. It's good to be back in front of you once again. It's been a little while for me, but as you know, me, Colton, and Adam, and some of us, we do preach from time to time. That's usually why I'm not here on Sunday mornings about half of the month. It's because I'm preaching somewhere else. So it is always good to get this opportunity to deliver a lesson here for you. We're going to be continuing our lesson series on sojourners and exiles. This idea in 1 Peter 2 that we are not of this world. And you'll also see the schedule up there. You can see that we're about halfway through. Today marks the halfway point. And today we're going to be talking about movies. I've kind of expanded that topic to TV shows, just generally, because they are so similar. And they touch a lot of the same areas. But the first thing that we want to do is talk about this identity that we have, that it ascribes to us in 1 Peter 2. So there in verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh." This idea of sojourners and exiles, this reminded me of another passage, one that is kind of close to my heart, Hebrews 11. As you all know, the Hall of Fame of Faith there, it talks about Enoch, it talks about Noah, it talks about Abraham and Sarah, and then after all of these examples, it gets to this point in verse 13 that these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But, as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them for a city. So here, again, it's describing them as strangers and exiles. I thought this word exiles would be a good place for us to start. I just wanted to define some of these words that it used. An exile is the one who is barred from his native country. Now this goes all the way back to the fall of man. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were in the presence of God. They were made there in the image of God. That was where they were supposed to be. That was their homeland, their native country. But because of their sin, they lost that. And because of that, mankind is no longer in the presence of God in that way. Therefore, we are exiles on this earth, because we're no longer in the presence of God in that way. It also describes them there as sojourners. This is the person who is living temporarily in a place, residing there temporarily. And I think this also goes to Hebrews 11. You know, they're just here temporarily because they're going on to somewhere else. This is not their home. God is preparing them a homeland. One who is a stranger is a person who does not know or is not known in a particular place or community. So as we're living here temporarily, residing here, the world is not supposed to know us. We're not supposed to be familiar and comfortable with it. We're supposed to be strangers and foreigners. And I think this also kind of, well, we'll see some of these ideas come back later as far as being comfortable with the world in this way. We're supposed to be strange and not know it, and it's not supposed to know us in this way. And then finally, this one is not used in either of the translations, but sometimes it's translated as pilgrim. I think this just kind of encapsulates all of these different aspects that we've talked about. The pilgrim is the one who is journeying, and specifically to a sacred place for religious reasons. That's what we are supposed to be. And we are going on to this heavenly homeland that it talked about in Hebrews 11. That's why, of course, we were exiled. And in that way, it's almost a negative thought there, that idea of an exile. But we are living here temporarily because we're going on to somewhere else. We are the pilgrims journeying on to this heavenly homeland that God has prepared for us. So this is the identity that it ascribes to us there. And because of that, in 1 Peter 2, it says, "As sojourners and exiles, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul, and keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So as sojourners and exiles, We're supposed to abstain from the works of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. This reminded me of another passage, one that I use in sermons all the time because it's so it ties in so well with almost any other passage. It's Galatians 5, when it's talking there about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So there, the idea of the passions of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, those are the things that we want to do. Those are the desires that we have. But the desires of the Spirit are the things that God wants us to do, the things that He has asked us to do. And again, you could think about the fall of man. When Adam and Eve were in the garden there, God had told them, this is my desire, is for you to not eat of the fruit of the tree. But they looked at it and they said, man, it looks good for fruit. It's going to make me wise like God, knowing good and evil. And because of their temptation from the devil, they took it and ate it. That was their desire. And they chose to do the things that they wanted to do instead of what God had told them to do. And this is that identity here is as sojourners, as pilgrims and exiles, we can't look at what we want to do. We have to look at what God wants for us, the desires of the Spirit there. So using this identity, we want to think about all of these different topics that we have in this series. And today, that topic is movies and TV. So as pilgrims, as sojourners and exiles living here temporarily, going on to a heavenly homeland, looking to avoid what we want to do and instead do what God wants us to do, what kind of movies should we be watching? Now, this topic has a lot of relevance to me. If you know me at all, you know that I love movies. And if you're around me enough, you know that I will quote movies all the time. I'll quote TV shows and YouTube videos. And I've actually made a few really good friends that way, gotten close to people that way. But what we want to consider is, as sojourners, what is okay for us to watch? And where exactly do we draw that line and say, no, this is something that I want to do that God has told me I shouldn't be doing. And as a pilgrim, I need to abstain from this. So there are a few principles here that we want to think about this morning. In Psalm 101, David here in verse 2 says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. So David's focus here throughout this entire section is the one of the pilgrim and sojourner and exile. He doesn't want to be focused on the things of evil. He wants to be focused on the works of God. He says that in verse 2. I want to ponder the way that is blameless. In verse 4, he doesn't even want to know anything of evil. Not that he just doesn't want to think about it or doesn't want to partake in it. He wants to be ignorant. He wants to know nothing of it. And you can see also in verse 2 that this is not just something that David wants to do out in public in front of people. This is something that he wants to do daily. He wants to walk with integrity of heart within his house, even when nobody's watching, when it's just him. And in verse 3 is one of the ways that he practices that. I will set nothing before my eyes that is worthless. The Hebrew word for worthless there is Belial. And this word is also translated as wickedness or evil. And if you're familiar with the phrase, the sons of Belial, it becomes synonymous with the devil at times. So the word here implies that those things that are wicked and evil, we can't set before our eyes. David doesn't want to set those things before his eyes because he wants to remain focused on God and as a pilgrim focused on that journey to the homeland that God is preparing him. Now, David actually let me borrow some writings of the 2nd and 3rd century Christians, the early Christians. They didn't have the same temptation as far as movies go because they didn't have movies, but they had the same kind of temptation in another way. And Ecclesiastes says, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And I firmly believe that. Now, obviously, technology and the things that we do will change over time. But the temptations of man have always been the same since the beginning of the world. They just manifest themselves in different ways. So the first, second, and third century Christians, the things that they faced were the theater, you know, the plays that they would see. And they talked about in those writings the adulteries they would see played out before them on stage. The harlots were often brought up on stage. The men would dress like women. They talked about the foul language and the indecent jokes. Those are the same things that our movies have today. Also, they talked about the gladiator games in the arena. People killing each other for sport, for the enjoyment of the crowd. And then also, the Olympic games at that time were played naked. They would perform those athletic feats without clothes on, displaying their bodies. So all of these things are very similar to what we face when we go to watch movies and TV and our entertainment today. Now, the advice of those early Christians were just as David said in verse 3, just don't even go and watch it. These things are wicked. These things are evil. Don't go and watch it. But what if it isn't wicked and evil? And there are tough lines for us to draw. And obviously, when you go to the Bible, there's not going to be one verse that says, don't watch this movie. Don't watch any movie, because movies weren't around. So where do we draw those lines? And that's what we're going to continue to consider. And I have a couple of examples for you that I think provide a good pattern for us when we're considering this topic. So in Daniel, and I'm stealing this one from Adam. Adam used the same example in his lesson earlier in this series. But I think that this is so important for us. When he's taken in Babylonian captivity and forced to learn their literature, forced to learn their religion through their literature, and really they're trying to indoctrinize him. It says, when it came to the king's delicacies, in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would not go against the commandments of God with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. So this is something that Daniel said ahead of time. Well, you know, I have to be in this program as a captive. I have to learn their ways, learn their religion. But when it comes to my religion and my relationship with my God, I'm not going to defile myself. He made this decision ahead of time. He purposed in his heart that he would not do these things. He would not cross this line. I think that's important for us as well. We have to make that decision ahead of time that this is our line and we will not cross it, because we want our focus to remain on God and we don't want to put those worthless things in front of our eyes. Another example that is very much in the same vein as this one is Job 31. He says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? So Daniel was talking about partaking of the delicacies, but Job here is talking about just looking, not even committing an act of adultery or fornication. He doesn't even want to look to bring up those thoughts in his mind. So he makes this covenant. He makes a promise with himself ahead of time that my eyes are not even going to look and bring this temptation and put this passion of flesh into my heart. And again, he's making this ahead of time. He's not doing it in the heat of the moment. He's making a decision with forethought here. So I think that these are really important. Making this decision, this covenant with yourself about what you're going to take in, drawing this line for yourself ahead of time, before you're faced with that temptation, I can help you know exactly when you're violating those things. So when it comes to some practical applications, because I think that this is where we really get to the heart of what we're dealing with today. Because there is no verse that tells us specifically what we can and can't watch, I think that these are things that we have to consider individually for ourselves. So first, we need to draw this line for ourselves. Just as Job did, just as Daniel did, we have to have a line and say, as a pilgrim, as someone who is living here temporarily and trying to get back to that presence of God because I've been exiled from it, this is my line. And I will not cross it. I'm not going to watch this because it will bring up this temptation. I'm not going to watch this because God would not be happy with me as a pilgrim. And this would be wrong. And I think that important here is not using the lines that that our culture and our society has set, because oftentimes these rating systems, they're very flawed. So if you say, well, I'm just not going to watch any R-rated movies and everything else is fine, there are a lot of PG-13 movies that I would say that are not good for Christians to watch. And then there are some R-rated movies that might be okay for you to watch. So these rating systems are often very flawed and historically through time have changed in a lot of ways. They're not consistent. So we can't use the lines that they've drawn for us. This is where we have to develop our own rating systems for each of the categories of things that we might see in movies, determine what, as a pilgrim, individually, what is wrong. Now, another application on this point is we don't often watch movies by ourselves. We watch movies with other people. So we also need to consider these questions with the groups that we watch them with. So whether that be families, whether that be a group of friends, like the college group, we watch movies quite a bit. You need to consider those things and make sure that you have a clear line drawn, especially when it comes to not trying to put a stumbling block in front of your brother. You don't want to hurt him. You want to help him on his journey. Now, along these things, I think there are two things in movies that really can make them cross that line that we draw for ourselves. So once we have this line drawn, we need to consider the content that is in movies and determine whether or not that is okay for us to watch as we have used God's word to determine. And one really important tool that we have today is technology. Now, technology is often looked at in a negative sense. We look at the evils that it brings. But it can be good if it's used in the right ways. And this is one way that it can be really useful. You can research movies before you watch them, before you're placed in that situation where you're watching something and you realize, I should not be watching this as a pilgrim. You can research movies and find out what's in them. And this is something that I do regularly. I love the IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. You can go on there and for almost any movie, you can go down to the Parents Guide, and it'll show you for specific categories for sex and nudity, for alcohol and drugs, for violence, for language. It'll tell you exactly what's in the movie. And you can look back at the lines that you've drawn with the help of God's Word, and you can determine whether or not that crosses the line that you've drawn for yourself. And along this line, also, another piece of technology we have today that's really useful is filtering. Like Amazon's ClearPlay, things like VidAngel, they can actually filter out the content that you watch. And you go in and set these filters yourselves. So based on the lines that you've drawn, again, you can say, well, I don't want to watch this. I don't want this to be in my movies. This is okay, but I don't want to watch that. And it will filter those things out for you. And it will actually just skip over, whether that's the audio or the visual, whatever that is, it'll skip over that part to the next part of the movie. So these are good tools that we can use to help us remain within the lines that we've drawn for ourselves as we continue on this journey. But finally, I think that this last one is a little bit overlooked sometimes because we are so concerned with content in movies. We have to consider the message that they're sending. Now, I think that this could be thought about in a couple ways. The first one that I want to present to you is religious movies. Religious movies are all over the spectrum, really. Some of them try to represent God's word fairly, with respect, and accurately. And those movies, I would encourage you to look at whether or not it's doing that. I know that when I was growing up, one that I used to love to watch was The Prince of Egypt. And they even said at the beginning, this is a story of faith for millions of people, and we've tried to represent these things to the best of our abilities. But I would urge you to be cautious with those as well. Because I got a little bit older and I went back to study the story of Moses and the Exodus, and I realized I was remembering the details from the movie instead of from God's word, what really happened with Moses and those people. So I would encourage you to be cautious on that front. But then there are also religious movies that they take a story from the Bible and they have no interest in representing it with respect and accurately. And you can usually tell what those are. Again, you can research those movies ahead of time before you see them. None other one for me would be Exodus, Gods and Kings, because when I saw, it's the same topic as The Prince of Egypt, but when I saw some of the press that Christian Bale, who was one of my favorite actors actually, when he was doing the press tours ahead of time, he talked about the character of Moses that he was portraying, talked about the savage brutality and how this man was like one of these early kings building his kingdom on the blood of his enemies. And I knew right then that they're not trying to represent the stories of God, the stories in God's word, accurately. And I decided that, that's not a movie that I want to watch for myself. So you have to consider those things with religious movies. But I think also if something meets the content bar and you say, well, it doesn't have anything bad in it, it's innocent, you still need to consider the message that it's sending. And this could apply for Disney movies as well, and I think it really does. Is this movie sending a message that is contrary to God's? Because again, the spirit of the flesh, or the lust of the flesh and the lust of the spirit are contrary to one another. God has told us to do something. And if something is sending a message telling us to do something else, even if the content isn't bad, that's something that we don't need to be watching. Because again, we have to consider ourselves as sojourners and exiles, as pilgrims here. We're trying to get back to that heavenly home with God. And if it's something that's going to pull our focus away from that, then it's worthless. And as David said, we shouldn't even be watching it. We shouldn't put it before our eyes. So I hope that these have been helpful for you, these applications. These are ways that you can just think about movies, consider what would be right and wrong. I think that these are practices that you can make for yourself. So think about these things ahead of time first. Draw that line for yourself. Make a decision on what is and is not okay as a pilgrim for you to watch. And I would encourage you to go to God's word for that, because he's told you what you can and can't do. If he doesn't want you doing it, then he probably does not want you watching other people do it. And then along that line, we can use tools on the internet to help us monitor content in movies and filter those things out so that we're staying within the lines that we've drawn for ourselves. And we can also look at the message that those movies are sending and make sure that our focus is always staying on God where it's supposed to be. Please pray with me at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now just thanking you so much for your creation, God. We thank you so much that you've given us some of the art forms that we have today that allow us to express ourselves and see other people's expressions. But God, we pray that you would be with us when we're considering these art forms, that they would not draw us closer to the earth, that we would recognize that we are just here temporarily, Father, that ultimately this is still a curse being away from your presence, and that our focus should always be on trying to get back to you, to this heavenly home that you have prepared. So God, we pray that you would help us focus on this pilgrimage that we are on, and that we would consider the things that we are taking in, the movies, the entertainment that we are taking in, usually on a daily basis, Father, and that you would help us to do these things in a respectful way that would always help us to stay close to you and keep our focus where it's supposed to be. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.